Romans chapter number 5. How many of you were here last Sunday and you heard what we started teaching last Sunday?
Yes.
Hold up your hand.
Yes.
Some of us were here, some of us were not. We'll just kind of recap a little bit just to kind of bring us all, you know, onto the same page. Because we began teaching last week on the love of God, or walking in the divine kind of love.
Yes.
And we're talking about with our brother, our sister, with those around us. And this divine kind of love is, you know, it's not human. It's not our natural human nature.
Right.
It's a higher nature that we received when we were born again. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The recreated, born-again human spirit received a new nature when we were born of the Spirit, born again, and that nature includes love. In fact, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, and the very first one was love. That's the first thing that shows up. That's the first thing that showed up when I got born again. Remember, my brothers were meanies before I got saved, and then they were all of a sudden wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. It's amazing how they changed. But it was really me, the new nature that came into me, the love of God that came into me. And so if you were here last week, we started on some of that. But Romans 5, verse number 5, it talks about this new nature coming into us. It says, the love of God is shed abroad, or the Amplified Classic says, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So that happened at the new birth. There's many verses that talk about it. One verse in the book of 1 John talks about we know we've passed from death unto life. Not physical death. He's talking about spiritual death to spiritual life because we love the brethren. In other words, this new nature came into us because when we got born again or received eternal life. The church world sometimes emphasizes the manner of living, and the Bible talks about the manner of living. There's a way God intends for us to live. But really, the manner of life that Christians are called to live is not just to do something that they don't have that nature. The manner of life is because we received eternal life.
Yes.
We're just living out of our new nature.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible talks about, in fact, if you want to go there, before we go there, I'll just mention again Romans 5:5. Here it says, this love was shed abroad in our hearts. It was shed abroad or poured out in our hearts.
Right.
You know, if somebody's treating you wrong, you don't have to pray, God, give me love for them.
Right.
If you're saved, you already have that love in you.
Yes.
Now, your flesh doesn't have it in it. Your flesh has the nature of, you know, you talk about me, I'll talk about you. You do me wrong, I'll just tell everybody how kind of a dirty rascal you really are. That's the fleshly nature. And we've all still got that too, but it's not in our spirits, it's in our flesh. Amen. So, but the love of God, we don't live out of our flesh. We're called to become spiritual Christians, which is because the Bible talks about three kinds of people. There's different ways to break down people, but the natural man, then there's the carnal Christian, and then there's the spiritual Christian.
Right. Yes.
The natural man's the man who's not even born again. In Paul's writings, the natural man's not born again. Then the carnal Christian is a Christian. They're born again, all right, but they're still living out of their flesh,
right. Yes.
And their unrenewed mind. And then the spiritual Christian, their inward man dominates them.
Yes. Yes.
The new nature
yes.
dominates
right.
them,
yes.
including the love of God.
Yes.
You know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, you know, you can have faith to move mountains, speak with tongues,
yep.
prophesy, and do all these things. But if you don't have love,
yep.
in other words, you don't walk in the God kind of love,
right.
then you're a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. In other words, it's just noise.
Just noise.
Brother Hagin used to say, I'd rather hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. That's a lot of noise, isn't it? Tin barn rattles. When you Some of you need to wake up this morning. But see, walking, you know, being, I prophesy, I speak with tongues, I do all this, and yet have an old unforgiving, mean spirit.
It's just
not spiritual.
No, it's not.
People think spiritual is I can prophesy, I can speak with tongues. Well, the Bible teaches prophesying, the prophet preaches on speaking in tongues. But if you do all that and you can't love your mother-in-law, or you hate your mother-in-law, or you're holding unforgiveness against somebody, or offense, or ill will, or you hope a car hits them or something, you know. That's not spiritual. You're still carnal. You're still living in your flesh. I didn't say you are, but if that's you. Don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. I'm not hitting anybody. I'm just simply classifying any of us, including myself, that if I can do all these other spiritual things, but I'm holding a grudge, I'm holding unforgiveness, that I'm not spiritual. Amen. So, but let's go to Romans chapter number. That was Romans chapter number 5. Let's go over to the 13th chapter of Romans, verse number 8 through 10. We looked at this last week. We're just bringing everybody up to speed a little bit where we were talking about last week. Because, you know, this church is what you might call a word and spirit church.
Yes, we are.
Word and spirit means that we base what we do on the word, but but the Holy Ghost always wants to move in line with the word.
That's right.
Right? And so we believe in the move of the Holy Spirit. You've seen some of it. You've seen more of it than in Cedar Rapids if you've watched. But this church is a word and spirit church.
Yes.
And we're going to have more word and more spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. In line with the word. How many of you know he confirms the word with signs following?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But, you know, we want to build a foundation for that kind of church.
Yes. Yes.
And all of those things are scriptural. But yet, right on the other hand, we want to base it on the Word of God, and love. Love is a big part of the New Testament. In fact, you're there in Romans 13. Just remember John chapter number 13, verse number 34. I believe it's chapter number 13, verse number 34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not." Well, no, he said, "No, I'm going to give you a new one." Someone said, "Does that mean we're supposed to, that it's okay to steal, kill, or do anything like that?" No, no. But he said, and we're going to see it in Romans here in a bit, but I mean Romans chapter 13. But he said, "New commandment I give unto you, that you what?
Love one another.
As I have loved you, that you also love one another."
Yes, sir.
Well, I came this morning, I wanted a prophecy. Well, we might get to that. Who knows? I mean, you know, but the here's something that we need to hear, because God put this on my heart.
Yes.
Walking in love.
Yeah.
A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now, what's the standard there? Love one another as they, the other fella,
nope,
loves you.
Nope.
If they treat you right, then you treat them right.
Nope.
But boy, if they don't treat you right, boy, you're off the hook. Just go for it. No. He said, I should have turned there. Maybe you did turn there. John 13, 34. New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. What's the standard? The way they treat us? No. As I, Jesus is talking. As I have loved you.
That's right.
Woo, that's a high standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
We're to walk in love. Using the divine kind of love.
Yes.
And the divine love didn't wait for us to be lovely before it loved us.
Thank you.
For God so loved the world, the world was sinners. That's you and me. So loved the world that he did what? He said right back at you, just like you're treating me right back at you. No, that he gave his only son. While we were yet unlovely. Romans says, while we were yet unlovely, Christ died for the ungodly.
Right.
I mean, some folks today are ungodly, but we're called to love them.
Yep.
They said we're called to love them. Now, I know loving some people is a little like hugging a cactus. Every time you hug them, they hurt you. You know what I'm talking about? But see, we're called to love them anyway. Yeah, but they did me wrong, that dirty dog. Well, you don't, I mean, how many of you know really getting offended at somebody else who did you wrong or something, that's going to affect you more than it's going to affect them.
Yeah.
It's going to affect your prayer life.
Yeah.
It's going to keep you from being healthy.
Yeah, true.
Amen. Well, so as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the standard here is God's love. God's love. And it doesn't wait for the other fella to do me right. Before I do them right. Remember Jesus in in Matthew 5, he said, love them that hate you, bless them that curse you, do good to them that spitefully use you, and so forth and so on. Pray for them.
Yep.
So here's our assignment. Love, bless, do good, and pray.
That's right.
And who are we loving, blessing, doing good, and praying for? People that hate us, people that despitefully use us. And so we're not treating them the way they're treating us.
Yes.
Amen. Now, somebody said, well, I just can't do that. Well, if we're born again, we can.
We can.
Because God furnished this kind of love. And somebody said, well, I can't love like God because I'm not God. Well, we all agree with you on the second part. You're not God. I'm not God. None of us are God, but the first part's not true.
Yeah.
Because the love that he loved us with, he put in our spirit, in our born-again spirit. See, the problem with us is, and I said us, I'm not just talking about you. I'm a person too. I got fleshly things that people treat me wrong. I want to talk about them.
Yeah.
But the problem is we're walking more in our feelings, the feelings of our flesh, than we are the new nature. Amen. Praise God. Husbands and wives, just keep looking straight ahead. And we'll all enjoy the service together. Now, Romans 13, look at verses 10. Let's start in verse 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no man anything, but here's one thing that you'll never get paid off, to love one another. To love one another. In other words, that's a debt you and I owe each other. Because how many of you remember the parable Jesus gave in the 18th chapter of Matthew, where there was a man that somebody owed him something and he demanded payment, took him by the throat. But see, that man had just been forgiven an even larger debt.
Yes.
Remember that man, 18th chapter of Matthew? So he had been forgiven a large debt. And then he went, somebody that owed him something, he took him by the throat, and just a little bit of money, but he took him by the throat and commanded that he paid. And he said, well, give me time, I'll pay it off. He wouldn't do that. And he put him in we'd say today, he made him go work it off.
Yeah.
And so, bust rocks or do whatever he had to do to pay that off. And so the king that had forgiven him the great debt called him back in and said, wait a minute, come back in here, buddy. Come in here, fella.
Yep.
I forgave you that great debt. And you wouldn't forgive. And then he said, now I'm going to restore to you all your debt.
Yeah.
And that story was, the context is God and us.
That's right.
We've been forgiven a great debt.
Yes, we have. Glory to God.
I owe it to everybody.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll never get that debt paid off.
Yeah.
I owe it to everybody to walk in love.
Yes.
To forgive people that did me wrong. Because I was forgiven of a whole lot more than they did me.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen.
On,
amen.
Amen. So that's the standard. We forgive, and that's what he's talking about here. Owe no man anything but to love one another. You're going to always owe that. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Look at that. Fulfilled the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or summed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Someone said, I love myself. Well, good, then I'm safe around you. Amen. Love your neighbor. If you love yourself, then you can love me the same way. Love your neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. That's one of the main statements in the New Testament about love. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love, or walking in this divine kind of love, is the fulfillment of the law. Praise God. You understand what he's saying there? Well, somebody said we need to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, out in the realm of government, our laws ought to be based on the Ten Commandments.
Right.
But as a New Testament believer, I'm not waking up every morning saying, "Now I got to think about this. I got to make sure not to steal from anybody today." I'm not. I don't have to. I'm just walking in love, and the divine kind of love's not going to steal anything from you.
That's right.
You know, there's a $50 bill. I think I'll take it. If I love her, I won't take her $50 bill.
Right?
Right?
Right. Yes.
Amen. So you and I walk in this new nature of love on the inside of us. It's going to, we'll end up fulfilling the whole Old Testament law.
Yes.
Yes. Woo-hoo, my. That's an amazing revelation right there.
Yes.
Now, so this happened, like I said, at the new birth. And everything that comes up in life, I mean, you can't go through, the Bible said, Jesus said this. He said, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. Somebody's going to do you wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Amen. And if they haven't yet, just wait till tomorrow. It'll happen. You can't go through this life without bumping up against somebody or something happening. Maybe not even intentionally. Maybe just somebody was unthoughtful or something. But whatever, you can't, it's impossible, Jesus said, that offenses will come. But here's what we need to see here. In those hardships that arise in relationships, for example, God has already furnished us with the kind of love that'll keep us from failing. Because love never fails. Walking in this kind of love will keep you from failing in any kind of endeavor in life. Keep you from failing in spiritual things.
Yes.
It'll keep you from failing in receiving from God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you receive from God by faith, and faith works by love.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
Yes.
Is that in your Bible?
Yes, sir, it is.
So, and there's whole lot to that. But God's already furnished us in anything that comes up, anything that arises. He's furnished us with the God kind of love that'll keep us from failing. Now, the question, though, is what are we going to do with this love?
Yes.
Are we going to just keep it, hide it in a napkin and keep it hid away? Or are we going to get it out and start walking in the light of it?
Right.
I'm going to start walking more and more and more and more and more in the light of it. I believe you're walking in the light, and we're all going to go do better walking in the light. Amen?
Amen.
And so this is the commandment of the New Testament. The commandment of the new, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. And so that standard is how he loved us. Now, look here in Romans, it says, this love works no ill to his neighbor. Say that, love works no ill to his neighbor. You remember last week we talked about, we talked about the tongue. And what we say, because it says over in James, you know, talking about the tongue, he said, our tongue is the most unruly member.
Yes.
We'll sin quicker, or let's put it this way, we'll get outside of love quicker. And anything outside of love is sin. You know, people, they talk about, you know, things in the flesh, and those are sins too. But this is sin. And this is one that somebody can walk in, or I can walk in, you can walk in, any of us could walk in without people seeing it, because it's on the inside. I'm angry at somebody. I'm offended at somebody. And we might put on a good smile, but we're every time we see them, the blood runs to our head and our ears get red. I just can't forgive that what they did to me. Well, those are spiritual sins. That just simply means something inside,
right.
Something in the heart,
yes, sir.
Something in the spirit.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So those are things that we've got to guard our hearts. Remember, Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart.
Yes, sir.
These kinds of things getting on the inside of us will start to afflict our lives.
True.
And we've got to keep these things out. It's the price is too high. Because it affects our faith. It hinders our faith. But anyway, so with this in mind, he said in Jude 1, 20 through 21, we looked at this last week, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that's praying in tongues, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself. You and I, notice there, it's you and I's job to keep ourselves in the love of God. Amen. That means, if it's you and I's job to keep ourselves in the love of God, that means we can get out of this divine kind of love.
That's true.
We can get outside of it. In other words, we can walk in something that's not divine love towards our brother or our sister. But he said, building up ourselves in the Holy Ghost, we can keep ourselves in the love of God. God raised up, he took us to, and signed us, and we went to Rhema Bible Training Center in 1985, both my wife and I. We didn't know each other at the time. We weren't married, but we met there and got married later. But both of us went in 1985, graduated in 1987. And Brother Hagin, ministered to us so much. And then he went on to heaven, and God brought Dr. Ed Dufresne, Ed and Pastor Nancy Dufresne into our lives. And Dr. Dufresne's testimony is amazing. I'll never forget the beginning of it. He was a construction worker, and he had a fellow on the construction site that was sharing Jesus with him all the time.
Yeah.
And for a whole year, and was inviting him to go to church for a whole year. And Dr. Dufresne, of course, he's a sinner back then, and just got the fallen nature of the devil in him. Amen. Jesus said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." And that's the way all of us live.
That's how we live.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus, right?
Yes, indeed.
But he was just an old sinner, just as fleshly as anybody, and he was being invited. But Brother Billy Frazier was inviting him to church and witnessing to him.
Yeah.
And Dr. Dufresne would just cuss him out.
Yeah.
and the man that was sharing, Billy Frazier, he would go back and just leave him alone, you know. And he would always, Dr. Dufresne noticed, he'd always go in, because they were on the job site, you know, one of those portable restrooms. He'd always, after he would cuss him out, he'd always go into the portable restroom. And Dr. Dufresne didn't know why, but he thought maybe he had a medical condition or something. And so later, finally, Dr. Dufresne finally went to church and actually got saved. And boy, I'm telling you, his life was transformed.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, he said later, after he got saved, he said, "Well, Billy Frazier, thank you so much for staying with it and sharing Jesus with me." But he said, "I notice every time that you'd share Jesus with me and I'd colorfully say no, that you went into the outhouse. Do you have some sort of medical condition?" He said, "No." He said, "No." He said, "I had to go in there and pray in tongues to keep from killing you."
Yeah. All right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's what Jude said here.
Yeah.
Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith,
yeah.
Praying in the Holy Ghost,
yes.
Keep yourself in the love of God.
Yes.
Woo.
You
know, whenever you're speaking in tongues, you know that's coming out of your spirit.
Yes.
You're a spirit. Paul said, "I pray God." 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You are a spirit being. That's the part of you that got born again. That's the part the love of God is in. But you also have a soul, and it has emotions. It feels certain ways, certain times. And if you wanted to change, just wait 5 minutes. You'll feel different. The spirit, soul, and body. And your flesh has appetites. But when you're praying in tongues, you're praying out of your spirit,
yes.
Because the Holy Spirit dwells in there, and he's the one giving you utterance.
Yes.
So you're speaking out of your spirit, and your understanding, the Bible said, is unfruitful.
Right.
Okay. Now, the same place when you pray, that's coming from when you pray in tongues, that's the same place that love of God should have brought in there.
That's right.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
It's in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. So sometimes whenever your flesh is all worked up, feelings about somebody of anger or unforgiveness, mm-hmm. ill will, offense, mm-hmm. unforgiveness, whatever, has those feelings, you can go deeper,
yes.
down where the love of God is,
yeah.
and tap into that and start living out of that.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And boy, if you do that, you'll end up returning good for evil.
That's right.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible teach returning good for evil?
That's right.
Not because your flesh, that's not your flesh.
No.
The flesh wants to return what they spewed out and said about us. We'll return and say something evil about them. But see, that love of God's in our spirits. And that's why he said, praying, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're getting that out of your spirit.
Right.
And that's where that love is. And when you're living constantly getting things out of you live in a flow of getting things out of your spirit rather than out of your feelings,
yes. come on.
Then it's going to be easier to stay in the flow of the divine kind of love.
Yes.
Amen. Because
that's in your spirit, not in your feelings.
That's right. That's good.
Hallelujah. That'll help you overcome, just like Billy Frazier overcame all that Dr. Dufresne spewed out when he shared Jesus with him. He overcame it by just going and drawing out of here because the ceilings got all worked up, you know. Somebody cusses you out, you don't feel like in the feelings, I mean, you don't feel like doing anything good for them. But so we got another opportunity to go deeper, don't we? To live differently, don't we? See, it's not a matter that we have the love of God. It's a matter of us walking in the light of it.
Yes.
Still glad you came this morning?
Yes.
And so he said here, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, keeping praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. So it's our job. That's not God's job to help you. God's job to make you and I walk in love.
Right.
Said we're to keep ourselves. Keep yourselves. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to keep myself. That means that it's our responsibility. Keep ourselves really in this place of divine love. And somebody said, well, what does that look like? Well, I won't read it this morning, but 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 in the Amplified Classic will be enough to challenge you for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Every day, I don't read it every day, but every time I do read it, I get challenged. I say, whoop, I see the standard right there. So love, this kind of divine love, walking in the divine kind of love is walking in the light.
Yes.
We said last week, 1 John 2, John, he wrote there that 1 John 2, 9 and 10 down and through there, that if we hate someone, we're walking in darkness. Well, darkness is Satan's territory.
Yeah.
Yes.
And on Satan's territory, he has the right to attack us.
Yeah.
There it is.
Amen.
Amen.
So we want to stay over on the territory, walking in divine love, where Satan has no access to us. I always wondered what it would be like back years ago. And I'm talking back in 1985, 80, well, actually, yeah, 85, but on into the early 90s. Always wondered what it'd be like to meet Brother Hagin. He's the one God used in my life to bring me into the things of God. He's not the only one, but you understand, just the one God used in my life. That's why I talk about him, because God used him in my life. So, but anyway, I always wondered what it'd be like to be around them. And one day, because after we graduated from Bible school, we went, I wanted to go out somewhere and get involved in the ministry in a church somewhere, but the Lord never would say anything to me about doing it. I said, well, Lord, you're not saying anything. He said, that's because I want you to stay here. So we got involved there by the leading of the Lord, got involved in what's called healing school there. We were involved there for, I don't know how many years. But anyway, one day we were over there, I don't know what year it was, been early 90s. We were over there, I was talking to the receptionist. I just finished teaching in a healing school class, and I was talking to one of the receptionists there, and my back was to the door, and I'm talking about the door into the back hallways, and the door behind me opened. Now, I thought it was, I was waiting for a friend of mine. He was finishing up preaching healing school also. And, it was him because it's about time for him to be done, you know? And I thought, well, I'll just wait for him. And so the door opened, stand up here, Brother Andre. And I thought it was him. So I didn't turn around and look, but somebody came up behind me, faced the crowd. Somebody came up from behind me and they grabbed just a little bit of skin right under here and just went like that. And I thought it was my friend. I came around like this, and it was Brother Hagin. So it's like, Brother Hagin. It's like, whoa. And he said, I said, Brother Hagin, good to see you. He said, that proves you're not dead.
Well.
Well, at first I thought he meant not dead physically. But later on, I realized he's talking about I hadn't crucified the flesh yet. You know, I came. There is that, you know, there is that. So, but anyway, I always wondered what it'd be like to be around him. And Miss Aretha was with him. And that was his wife, if you don't know. And anyway, I'll never forget that the longest I live. I always thought if I get around Brother Hagin, I'll sense the power. You know, that healing anointing or something. And, of course, he had that. But I'll tell you, the love of God between them, the love of God through coming out of him and Mom, we called her Mom Hagin, would melt you. Melt you. My wife and I, we had several issues going on then financially. We had some needs. And I'll never forget, after that encounter and talking just briefly in a few conversations, and we walked back out to the car, and we just sat in the car for a few minutes and looked at each other and said, it's going to be all right, ain't it? It's going to be all right. Now, why? Because the love of God they walked in between themselves and the love of God on them was the greatest thing about Brother Hagin in my first meeting with him, my first encounter with him. Hallelujah. And he made the statement, not to me personally, but hearing him preach, he said, I watch over my love walk more than I watch over my faith life. He said, because faith, you ever read Galatians 6:5, is it? Is it 6:5? 5:6? Yeah, 5:6. Galatians 5:6. In the new covenant, circumcision doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision. But faith, but which works, huh? I want to know how things work. I want to know how faith works. Faith, which works, how does it work? Some of you are real quiet this morning. Faith, which works by
love.
Love is how it works. Love is how it works. Well, that's what Brother Hagin said. I watch over my love walk more than I watch over my faith life because it's love that makes faith work.
Yes.
It works. That's so good.
I heard him say one time, because he's very competitive. If you played him in checkers or you whatever, very competitive. And he was praying with his daughter. Let's see. No, it would have been one of his grandchildren, I believe, playing some game with her, and and being very competitive. You know, he got worked up a little bit, and I don't remember what happened. He didn't really say anything about what happened, but he said later on he got convicted and he called her and said, "Please forgive me. Please forgive me." See, he's watching over his love walk.
That's right.
Watching over his love walk. I don't mean it's wrong to be competitive.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know. Hey, amen. But when the game's over, hey, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us beat you. You know? No, I'm just saying. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Praise God. We got to watch over this because this is what keeps our faith working.
That's right. That's true.
Jesus mentioned only one thing, one hindrance to faith in all of his teachings in the Gospels. That doesn't mean there aren't other hindrances to faith. But he only mentioned one because this is the big one. Mark 11, 23 and 24. We talk about Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know, whoever says this mountain be thou removed and so forth, and it'll be done. Then, you know, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. And then he said, that's 23 and 24. And then verse 25, and. How many of you know I didn't walk in this morning and say, and? Because I hadn't said anything to you before that.
Right.
So he's connecting what he had just said to what he's getting ready to say. And when you stand praying, forgive.
Right. Yep.
Forgive.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is one of the greatest hindrances to people's faith working that there is.
Yes.
Yes.
Unforgiveness is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Lack of forgiveness. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll just keep amening myself this morning. So this divine kind of love is the most outstanding feature of a spiritual Christian's life.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Developing in what the Bible calls this divine love is the mark of real maturity.
Yes.
Hallelujah. No one really cares much about how much you or I can prophesy if we aren't lovely.
Seriously.
Praise God for the word.
Yes.
Now, so we talked a lot about that last week, and we talked about we talked about the tongue and how we've got to guard that. I'm not going to get into that this morning because, like we said, the tongue's the most unruly member. We'll get out of love quicker, you know, by what we say than we ever will any other way.
That's right.
So you can go back and listen to that. Now I want to get over here on this more on this forgiveness issue. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 32. My goodness, the time's gotten away from me this morning. Praise the Lord. There's not a lot of shouting usually when you teach on things like this. But you do this, there'll be a lot of shouting.
Yes, that's true.
Be a lot of shouting because your faith will work.
Right.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, look at verse 32. We'll go down through chapter 5, verse 2, because Paul didn't write in scripture and verse. But be ye kind one to another.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind one to another. You got to write to Christians and tell them be kind. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, if everybody's going to just treat you marvelous and wonderful for the rest of your life, we wouldn't. And God wouldn't have to send us, inspire Paul to write things like this, to forgive one another. Right. That means there's going to be opportunities for things to forgive.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to believe God. I'll never have to, you know, nobody will do me ever wrong. You can't do that. Jesus said it's impossible to go through this life without offenses.
Yeah.
Somebody going to try to offend you. Forgiving one another, even as God. See, there's the standard again. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers. King James says followers. It's really imitators of God as dear children.
Yep.
You know, like little children, they'll see their daddy doing something. They'll try to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Imitating God. That's what we're to do. We imitate God as dear children and walk in love. Walk. Oh, do what? Imitate God. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. There's the standard again. He keeps saying that. And hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. All right. So notice verse 32, forgiving one another. And then he says, and walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive one another and walk in love. So part of the love walk is forgiving people.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Amen. That's a big part of the love walk.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. And so to fail to forgive is to fail to walk in love.
Yeah.
In other words, when do you need to forgive? Well, if I'm treating you real good and everybody else is treating you real good, there's no need to forgive anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes things happen.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
People don't maybe treat you quite like you'd like to be treated.
Right.
And what are you going to do? Carry that around on the inside and stew about it? If your faith, if you do that, you're going to hinder your faith.
Yes, that's true.
Absolutely.
So, but I'm to do it like God. Remember I said earlier, people say, well, I'm not God. I can't do like God. Well, but he has furnished you with his kind of love. And so you and I can. Sometimes people say, I just can't forgive that old rascal what they did to me. Well, if they're born again, they can. They can. Walking in their feelings, they can't. Because there's no love in your feelings for people that do you wrong. People that do you right, ooh, I like them. I love them. Well, see, that doesn't take any effort to love somebody that loves you. Jesus said, really, that's the real mark of spirituality is loving somebody who doesn't love you.
Yes, yes.
It's true.
That's right. Come on, that's right.
Amen. So forgive like God forgives. And so he said here the reason people don't forgive. Do you notice what he said back here? Be ye kind one to another. What's the next word? Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another.
That's right.
Forgiving one another.
Right.
In other words, unforgiveness is hardness of heart.
Right.
Yes.
Tender-hearted is the opposite of hard-hearted. And the more we walk in unforgiveness, the harder of heart we get.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
And that's a dangerous place to live. Because hardness of heart, I've learned this, it makes me insensitive to God, to the Spirit of God, to the leadings of God, to my help. I need help. How many of you need help through life to make decisions and you know, in areas of life where there's great need for help from God's power? And so here he's talking about not being able to tap into that because of hardness of heart or unforgiveness. And the more we hold a grudge, the more we walk in unforgiveness, the harder our heart gets. But we can reverse that also and decide we're going to forgive. Now, notice he said here, as God, we're to forgive as God forgives us. Well, how does God forgive? God forgives and he forgets. Remember, he said, thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
No more.
I'm not going to remember them anymore.
Right. That's right. That's right.
People say, well, I can forgive them, but I can't forget it. Well, that's not real true forgiveness.
No, that's not.
Amen. And so you and I have to have the kind of love that God has for us.
Yes.
Yes.
That doesn't wait until somebody comes and even repents.
Yeah.
God didn't wait for us to repent.
He sure did.
Before he sent Jesus.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Nor did he hold anything against us. Bible said it was God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not holding their trespasses against them. Any of us ever held anything against somebody? I have. Boy, it started chewing me up on the inside. And I'll tell you, when you start, you things don't work much longer anymore, and so forth, it starts making you want to quit that stuff.
Yes.
Amen. So this is the divine kind of love. Now, you know, let's just skip down here. I want to get to something here because we're running out of time. Another thing that the divine kind of love, it says he forgives and he forgets. Thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Right.
On, you know, husbands and wives can do this. It's not just limited to this, but any of us could do it towards anybody. But we basically are prone to, like if somebody does us wrong, like husbands and wives, they live with one another, so there's more opportunity to maybe do something wrong. Right. Be unlovely. So, but whenever we say, well, I forgive you, and then something else happens, and we go back and bring up all their past failures and remind them, you did this, you did that, now here you're doing this, and then back there 3 years ago, you did that.
Come on.
That's not real forgiveness.
This is help.
Say that again.
This is help.
Yeah, that's help. Amen.
Amen.
We're prone sometimes to remind our spouse or someone of the past mistakes that have happened.
Yes.
How are you going to develop a good relationship holding all those past mistakes against somebody?
Come on.
You'll never have a good relationship.
That's right.
Amen. Constantly reminding people of their past mistakes and failures is to ruin your prayer life. Go over to 1 Peter. Go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, with the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Excuse me, the weaker vessel. It's not talking about her spirit. or anything like that. The vessels are referring to the body, just the physical body, not as strong physically, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you see that? That's the same thing Jesus was talking about in Mark 11, verse 25, when he said, and when you pray, stand praying, forgive. Right? So he's talking about the same thing here. In other words, you know, he says giving honor unto the wife. Boy, if we had some time to talk about honoring one another, we could spend some good, we could get some good help out of that. But for time's sake, because of what the Lord put on my heart, I'm going to skip that and just basically summarize what he's talking about here between husbands and wives. Summarize it as walking in love with one another. Walking in love with one another.
Right.
Forgiving one another.
Yes.
Not holding things against one another. Everybody's, you know, what you did in the past and so forth and so on. And so, but he said that your prayers be not hindered. So walk in love that your prayers be not hindered.
Amen.
And so, Lord, why does that come up in my heart? I guess I'll go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize that, like, for example, John Wesley was mightily, anybody know who John Wesley was? He's mightily used to God. Europe back, you know, a while back, you know, back in the earlier days of the Reformation, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't realize that he had a wife that was cruel to him. And she just basically, one of the other reformers one day went to see him. I don't remember which one it was. But they went to see him. And then as they walked up to the front door, walked past one of the windows, John Wesley's wife had John by the hair. She's dragging him through the house. And so... John Wesley, being mightily used to God. Do you know whenever you're being mightily used to God, there's going to be things that come. Things that come to try to knock you out. But John Wesley just walked in love with her. She died at an early age. Because, you know, we're reading 1 Peter 3:7. You keep on reading and he'll say, I think it's verse 10. He that would love life and see good days. He's quoting from the Old Testament, and the Old Testament says many good days. He that would love life and see many good days. That's long life and good things in that life.
That's right.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips. They speak no guile. Yeah. He's talking about walking in love with our tongue.
Yes.
And people that don't do that, they don't live long.
No, they don't.
See, many good days. Many good days means long life.
Long.
And a lot of blessings in that life.
Yes, sir.
See, we talk about faith. But I tell you, like a man said years ago, he was an elderly man, very elderly in the community, and back in Texas it happened, and a very elderly man, and he was always known to hold his tongue, not say the wrong things, and just walk in love with people. And there was a criminal that, just a known city drunk criminal, you know, got put in jail a lot. Finally eventually died, and they went to his funeral, and everybody's walking past him just sort of, you know, these aren't Christian people, they're just sinners, just sort of cussing him, you know. And here comes this elderly man that was in perfect health, elderly and in perfect health. And he walked by, and he said, they watched him, what's he going to say? Because he never says anything bad about anybody. What's he going to say? And he walked by and said, he sure had pretty teeth. There was a lot he could have said about that fella.
Exactly.
Stealing people's stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
City, causing, you know, little town, causing problems everywhere he went.
Yeah.
Sure had pretty teeth. And they marveled that he found something good to say about the fella.
Yeah.
But see, that's why he was living in divine health.
That's good.
This is, he was a believer, but he kept his tongue. He guarded what he would say about other people.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, some of you have to, on the front row, have to shout a little louder because there's not much shouting happening here. That your prayers be not hindered.
Yes.
Amen. This verse is talking about hindering prayers.
Right.
God wants us to have unhindered prayers.
That's right. That's right.
But holding unforgiveness and not walking in love and things like that will affect our prayers.
Yeah.
So anything we're praying for, make sure we're walking in love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know you need to be able to say, and I'll tell you, be honest with you, for the first year of my marriage, I never said once that whole first year, honey, forgive me. I was wrong. I wasn't raised to say something like that. Amen.
Amen.
And you know I wasn't all that in a bag of chips. You know I wasn't perfect in walking in love that whole first year. I mean, the first year. Oh, my goodness, the first year. After 20 years, you can get this love walk down. You know, it doesn't take that long. But my point is, the first year, somebody else brushing their teeth in my sink.
Seriously.
How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But see now, not one time that whole first year did I ever say, but the Lord dealt with me about it. How many of you know, if I'm wrong, I gotta get something right? Some of you looking at me like, I've never had to ask my wife to forgive me. Well, you did, but you didn't do it.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So let's look at this. We got to wrap this up. Let's go over to a verse. We got to skip some things here. Look with me. Well, really, let's just stay with this verse. 1 Peter 3:7. That your prayers be not hindered. Everybody say that your prayers be not hindered.
That your prayers be not hindered.
Now, that doesn't say, or God won't answer your prayers.
Right, no.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to let that sink in for a second.
Yeah.
That you know, basically we could paraphrase, say, walk in love, or God won't answer your prayers. That's not what that said.
Yeah.
It didn't say that he was the one that was going to hinder your prayers.
Right.
He said, you do this so that your prayers aren't hindered. In other words, the hindrance came from you or I.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
People read that and they say, well, God won't answer your prayers if you don't walk in love. That's totally unscriptural.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that there's a lot of silence on that one. Did you hear that?
Come on.
God's not the hinderer. Heaven isn't opposing your entrance into any of God's blessings.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Psalm 84:11, the Lord God's sun shield, the Lord give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly.
That's right.
Now, in the Old Testament, that's how you were righteous,
yes.
is you did righteous things.
Right.
In the New Testament, we were made the righteousness
yes.
of God.
Yes.
And so we are accepted and made right with God through the blood of Jesus, and no good thing will he withhold from the righteous.
Yeah.
No good thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Amen. No difficulty in receiving from God ever came because he was opposing you.
Right.
Amen. Nor is it because he's slack concerning his promises. Bible said in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not slack concerning his promise. You know what slack means? Just doesn't pay much attention and doesn't really follow up and fulfill what he said he would do. And so the reason that we can't interpret 1 Peter 3:7 as God won't answer your prayers is because he has already freely given us all things in Christ.
Yes.
Remember, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall not he also with him freely give us all things? And Jesus said, all that I have is, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore said I, he'll take a mine and give them to you. In Christ, everything Jesus got in his death, burial, and resurrection, we got.
Right.
And the New Testament says we are heirs together and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that he got, we got. Jesus gave it to us. He put it in our account with Jesus and my name on it.
That's right.
Jesus and your name on it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Your faith is not to get God to give anything.
Yes. Come on.
He has already given all things. You are already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So your faith isn't really to get God to do anything. He already made provision for every need you'll ever have in this life.
Yes.
Praise God. Your faith is to receive what he has already given.
Yes, that's
and when he said, your faith, lest your prayers be hindered, he's talking about your faith being hindered because of not walking in love. And so, but it's not God hindering you from, it's not God saying, nope, I'm not giving to you. He already gave.
Yes.
Glory. It's your faith that receives it.
Amen.
Ooh, my. He's not opposing us.
No, he's not.
If God be for us, who can be? God's for you. He's with you. He's for you. He's in you. Amen. You're not contending with him to get a blessing out of his hands. You know, like he twists his arm, he's up on his tippy toes. Okay. Amen. Jesus put a yes. The work of Christ put a yes on everything that God has provided for you.
Hallelujah.
That's 2 Corinthians 1:20 in the Amplified. There's a divine yes. I said there's a divine yes on everything God has provided for you. All the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him. God's not saying no to any of his blessings. He freely already gave it. It's in an account with your name on it. You're a joint heir. Hallelujah. Don't let circumstances or any man get you to put a no where God put a yes.
All right now. Amen.
Praise God forevermore. But you do have to add the amen.
Yes.
That verse goes on in the Amplified. All the promises of God, they find their divine yes answer in Christ. For that reason, we utter the amen, the so be it. So you got to add the amen.
Yes.
And all these blessings that are yours, your faith is adding the amen, and that works by love.
Yes.
When you and I say, I'm going to bite my tongue, I'm not going to be critical and speak those words about somebody, we're saying amen, we're saying yes to all the blessings of God.
All the blessings.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Glory.
Are you glad you came this morning?
Yes, sir.
All is yours.
It is.
And it's yours for the taking because the blood of Jesus has secured it on your behalf.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God really doesn't have the option to withhold anything because he already gave it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. The blood of Jesus secured it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But it is our faith that lays hold of it.
Yes. That's right.
And our faith has to be working real good.
Yes, it does.
And faith works by love.
By love.
Now, the love of God is what, and I'm going to wrap this up, but I'm just going to take a minute. How many of you give me a minute here?
Yes.
Your spirit Your spirit is where the love of God is shed abroad. And whatever gets in there and affects your spirit, inside of your spirit, it begins to clog up the flow of the blessings of God. Amen. And so all that God does in our lives, I'm just reading something the Lord said to me. I want to say it just like he said it. Comes into us through our spirits, comes to our lives through our spirits. And therefore, at times when unforgiveness or strife are trying to get into us, especially, we need to keep our spirits free from all those things or they'll clog up the flow of God. That's what he means when he said, lest your prayers be hindered. God's not saying, no, I'm not going to give that to you. He already did. But you can get all clogged up on the inside and it hinders the flow of God. Does that make any sense? And so if it comes through our spirit, we must address these spiritual issues. Or else it'll clog up the flow of God. Amen. So Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, if you get your spirit where it ought to be, your body will respond in healing.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, healing comes through your spirit.
Yes.
Divine healing. Now, medical doctors, they treat from the medicine. So we thank God for that. But divine healing, it doesn't come through outward means. It comes through your spirit.
Right.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Your spirit's like a pipeline.
Yeah. Right.
That God flows through to get to the rest of your life. If you'll keep it unclogged, there'll be a free flow of all that God has.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are clogs? Anything like unforgiveness that is unaddressed.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Ever had God deal with you about something? Don't say that.
Yeah.
Then you go ahead and say it. Mm. Maybe talk about somebody, say something, and God deal with you about it. You know what? You just got a clog.
Yeah, true.
Now, you can get it unclogged. It's called, Lord, forgive me.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
So,
anything God's dealing with you about that you've not addressed, that's a clog.
Yeah.
But if you're not paying attention to your spirit and God's dealings on the inside, when your conscience is bothering you, then you can get all clogged up.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about natural things. I'm talking about your spirit, man.
Yes.
The pipeline of God's blessings. Hallelujah. So the maintenance of life as God intended it is really in the maintenance of the condition of your inward man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So good.
I hope you're not too tired. I'm trying to, I've got to finish this now or else it'll take too long to get back to it next week. The maintenance of life as God intended it, I'm talking about all these outward blessings, are in the maintenance of the condition of your inward man. You let a bunch of ill will and animosity and hard, anger or something in somebody get clogged up on the inside, it starts affecting every other area of your life.
Totally.
Yeah. Amen. And don't be slow to deal with things when God deals with you. It'll limit the flow of God. If things flow real slowly in your life, that it could be because there's not much for God of God's pipeline to get it through.
Yeah.
I mean, God's pipeline's like this, and it's all clogged up to where it's just a little bit like this. Years ago, Brother Copeland told a story where he had a vision. He's laying on the bed praying in the Holy Ghost. He's preparing for a service, if I remember the story right. And he had this vision. Up in the vision, he's looking up, of course, laying on the bed. He's looking up, and all of a sudden, he sees this pipeline coming out of heaven, and it's a big pipeline. It's full of water coming his direction. And then it was connected to a smaller pipe on the end of it, and the smaller pipe was clogged, and it was just going, just like a spray, a mist,
right,
just spraying on him.
Yeah.
And he's looked at that and he said, Lord, what on earth am I looking at? He said, that big pipe is the flow of my blessings toward your life. The little pipe is your spirit and it's clogged.
Wow.
It's got all kinds of stuff in there, little irritations at people that cut you off in traffic and just all that little stuff.
Yep, that's real good.
And so what's coming at you is just a little spray.
Right.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So it's limiting.
It is. Yeah.
Those things limit the flow of God. Can you see what hindrance means now? It's not God saying, I'm not going to answer your prayers. There's a free flow coming your direction. And so that's really what 1 Corinthians 11, 29 through 31 is talking about when he talks about, being sick because of one's spiritual life out of order. If you remember those verses. I got to wrap this up here. So a lot of people's thoughts, a lot of even Christians' thoughts, concerning what's wrong in their body, their thoughts are on the natural when it comes to healing. Spiritual people, people of the Holy Ghost, they're interested in people who are interested in divine healing. They're not just looking at the physical things. They're looking if there's anything out of order spiritually.
Yes. Yes.
That's going to clog up the flow of God. Amen. When I say spiritually, what's getting into their spirit or what has gotten into their spirits? Amen. Something God's dealt with them about that they haven't gotten right.
Right. Yes.
He might deal with us about forgiving. We're like, I just can't. I just can't.
Come on. Yeah.
Well,
come on.
That's a choice.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let's not be slow in dealing with the things God deals with us about. That'll limit us. So these spiritual issues have to be addressed, or they'll slow down the progress of the blessings of God. So sometimes these things have to be set in order for things like healing to come or other things like that to come. I remember Brother Hagin years ago, he told a story about a lady that came to him. I think this is back when he was pastoring. He said, a lady came to him and said, I would like you to answer a question for me. And I'm almost done. I know I'm going long here this morning, but I just had to get to this part. And he said, what is that? He said, the lady said, it seems like, my family, my husband and me and our kids and, both sides of the family here, because they were all in church. I think one part of the family is in another church, but they're all church people and loving God. And so he said, I know your family. He said, what's the question? Well, the question is, seems like on my husband's side of the family. If they ever need healing, they just get it just as quick as, somebody lay hands on or something, get an agreement, boom, bam, healed. But my side of the family, boy, healing seems to be slow. It seems to just difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than flowing like water, it flows like molasses. Just real slow.
Real slow. Yeah.
Amen. So, but he said, well, you didn't tell me anything. You didn't ask me anything. You told me something. Well, here's my question. Why? Well, Brother Hagin dipped down into his spirit, and this is what came out. He said, well, probably because one side of the family is quick to repent and quick to forgive, and the other side of the family holds grudges and it just takes a long time to forgive. She looked at him like he hit her with a wet dish rag or something. She said, you're exactly right. She said, my husband's side of the family, somebody does them wrong. Oh, I forgive you.
Yeah.
Not even hold it, And even though her husband's side of the family was more carnal,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just go to church part of the time,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. About half baked. You know what I mean by half baked?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to quit. But yet they wouldn't hold a grudge.
Yeah. Right.
And they'd forgive people.
Yeah.
But she said, my side of the family will eventually get around to it. But because we know we have to.
Yeah.
But boy, we'll hold out as long as we can hold out.
There's your call.
To forgive people.
Yeah.
Not only forgive people, but to repent. How many of you know there's two sides of this?
Yeah.
Whenever we've done wrong, repent. But then also forgive whenever others have done us wrong. She said, my side of the family, we'll hold a grudge for as long as we can. We know we got to eventually forgive them, but boy, we just want to make them feel bad as long as we can.
Wow.
Well, she got her answer. Why? Her husband's side of the family seemed like healing would always flow easily.
Yeah.
Even though they weren't as faithful to church and were maybe some other things you see them doing, you think, my goodness, they're about half carnal.
Right.
But they wouldn't hold a grudge. See, these things on the inside weren't clogging up. But then her family, they were all clogged up on the inside. So everything was flowing slow. Did you get anything out of the word this morning? Thank God for answers. I think a lot of times Christians, they need a bigger view of things like divine healing. They need to see a bigger picture. They see the laying on of hands, which is scriptural. We do that. They see the anointing. We believe in the anointing. We believe in. But boy, all of that will amount to nothing if we're all, full of bitterness, ill will, unforgiveness, offense. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. How many of you know God's not holding out on any of us?
No.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. You can stand with me this morning. We thank you for your word. It's such a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. It guides us into answers. Hallelujah. We're grateful this morning for the light of your word that we can make adjustments in the light of.
Yes.
We can turn towards your word. Father, we thank you this morning. You're not condemning us. You are convicting. You bring light so we can make adjustments. But thank you, Lord, that it's just real easy to make adjustments.
Yes.
We don't have to hit ourselves over the head, condemn ourselves. Just say we're going a different direction. Lord, forgive me. I'm going a different direction. I'm letting that go. I'm letting go the ill will towards somebody that I've been carrying in my heart. In Jesus' name. And Father, just that quick, we're back in the place where things flow freely like they should. Hallelujah. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. I'm prompted that we should all say some things. Say this. You might want to close your eyes. There might be a situation in your life where what I'm talking about, the word teaches us, and we've been looking at this morning, something that brought something to light in your life that you can see after hearing the word this morning. You can see it's been an issue in your life that has affected you receiving from God. I'm not saying it's true about anyone here, but possibly it is. I'm prompted to have all of us say some things. So bow your head, close your eyes just for a moment. You might want to hold one hand up to heaven or both, whatever you want to do, and just say this after me. Say, Dear Father God, I thank you for the light of your word. It gives me my answer this morning. I am brought into the light of how I can receive better from you. Lord, anybody that has done anything against me, that has wronged me, spoken against me, treated me wrong, not given me what belongs to me, withheld what is due to me, or in any way worked ill towards me, this morning I'm making a choice. I'm making a choice to forgive them. I say, I forgive them now. I release them from their wrong against me. Father, they owe me nothing. I am deciding this morning to hold nothing against them. Father, faith is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling, and I choose to forgive by faith. Hallelujah. So they're forgiven now. I let it go. I release it. I say, it's all forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm free on the inside from all ill will and animosity. In Jesus' name, it's gone. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, lift your hands and just thank him today. You're free. You're free. Free this morning. Thank you, Father. Free this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much for setting us free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, somebody said one time, they said, holding a grudge or unforgiveness against someone and expecting them to be the one that gets affected by that is like drinking poison and expecting the other fellow to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't work that way. Whoever drinks the poison is the one that dies. And whoever holds the unforgiveness is the one that it affects the most.
That's right.
But we just let it go.
Yeah.
I said, we let it go this morning.
Yeah.
Did anybody let it go this morning?
Yeah.
And guess what? When we walk out of here, we're not going to pick it back up.
No.
It's gone. Hallelujah. Next time we see them, we can hug their neck.
Yes.
Treat it as if treat it like it never happened.
Yes.
Well, Pastor, I'm not there. Well, you can just keep on feeding on this and get there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm walking out of here free this morning.
Yeah.
Anybody else walking out of here free this morning?
Yeah.
Free from all that stuff that clogs up the flow of God. Hallelujah.